This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Enterprise, and this company I'm speaking to, founded in April 2016, EasyHaul, is transforming the Southeast Asian road freight market with its on-demand trucking technology platform. And leveraging on the shared economy model, the startup effectively utilizes the empty space and trucks on the Malaysian roads, providing truckers with a way to generate additional income. I've got Raymond Gillen and Mudassar Mohamed here, two out of the three co-founders. So welcome, both of you. Raymond, we've spoken before together with Digital News Asia. Now, EasyHaul is being called the Uber of logistics. Explain what that means.
Good morning, Frida, and thanks for having us on the show again. So Uber for trucking, what it means is essentially we are running an online freight platform. So what the platform does, it connects shippers. And shippers are trading companies, manufacturing companies, but also logistics companies that do not run their own trucks but outsource their transportation. And we connect those shippers with transportation companies, carriers we call them. So those are road freight transport companies that have assets that they try to optimize. So they try to improve the utilization of those trucks on the roads. And so essentially what we do is we've built a tech platform that allows these shippers and carriers to connect. So it's sort of an online marketplace. But much more than that is once the connection between the shipper and the carrier is established, is the application essentially takes the transport company through the entire process from pickup to delivery, which includes all the electronic documentation, so the EPODs, but also we do the immediate invoicing and things like that.
And just to add on to that, to simplify how it currently works, if a shipper needs a truck today, how they typically do that is their transport team will pick up the phone and start calling the transporters like, hey, do you have a truck? Do you have a truck? And they sometimes are successful. Many times they're not, right? So suppose they're doing four trucks a day and they want 15 trucks the next day. It's hard to find those 15 trucks. And that's where a platform like us comes in, where we can offer scalability to these shippers. On the other end of the spectrum, the transporters, if they go from, say, from KL to JB, and the truck is in JB, the only way for him to fill that truck on the way back is to hope that somebody gives him a call and says, like, hey, do you have space?
And he'll, of course... In business, it's difficult to live on hope.
Exactly, right? So here we are. We offer an additional opportunity now for these transporters to, you know, fill that space with capacity, and then also provide an avenue for the shippers to find trucks in a much more easier and effective manner.
Okay. Now, I was going to ask you, what problem did you see in logistics and transport that you wanted to solve? And I guess that will be it. Anything else to add to that?
Well, so one of the key problems as to why we started this company in the first place is that you see basically an underutilization of these assets. Now, in most asset-driven industries, it's all about maximizing asset utilization. And you'd be surprised that in the road freight transport, you would see that on average here in a country like Malaysia, for instance, over 60% of all the trucks returns empty. Or they're driving half full, which means there's a lot of empty space going out there. And so the question that people often ask is why is that problem there? It's because of the fragmentation of the industry.
Right.
It's just a lot of small players. And what Mudassar just explained is it's very difficult for them to optimize their own assets. So that's where we come in and provide that opportunity.
Right. And how do carriers and drivers get in touch with you?
So carriers and drivers get in touch with us basically through the application. So every driver, every carrier that's on our platform is registered. So we know who they are. We know the names and the ID numbers of the drivers, their trucks that they're using. And so essentially through the platform, they will be able to accept offers. And so those will be bookings made by shippers. And so carriers can go in and say, look, this is a shipment that is good for me because I have a truck in JP. It is empty. And now I see a trip from JB back to KL, yes, I'm going to take it.
Right.
And just to add on, how they register with us is online. So they go on easyhaul.com and they can register as a carrier. It's a pretty simple platform. On the other hand, we also have a sales team that proactively approaches transportation companies, explains to them what we do and invite them to join our platform.
Okay. Now, is there a waiting process for the carriers? I mean, how do you qualify them? You say you do it online. How do you know they're legit and good?
Sure. So when we say we invite them online, they can only register online, but they cannot be activated until we actually do some pre-qualification, right? So since we're a B2B marketplace, the carriers have to be an existing registered business entity. Mm-hmm. So you cannot have like a truck in your backyard and say, I'm going to join Easy Haul the next day. Yeah, you have to have a registered business entity.
I do have a truck in my backyard.
Unfortunately, Frida. Well, we'll create a separate platform for you. But for these transporters, yeah, they've got to have registered businesses. The drivers need to be licensed. The trucks need to have the necessary permits, et cetera. So we have a checklist in place where if they qualify, then they are registered on a platform. They're given a username, password. We then go and train them on how to use our app. Again, we have a team that goes out, meets these transporters, sits with the drivers. We've done training with drivers in coffee shops and gas stations, every corner, remote corner of Malaysia. We do it in Tamil. We do it in Bahasa. We do the training in English. So again, we have a great team in the back end that really looks out for these guys and supports them with getting them on board.
Okay, speaking of team, how large is the team?
So a team at the moment here in Malaysia, we have 20 people in a team. Actually, we've just hired a couple more. So by the end of this year, it's probably going to be close to double of that. Yeah. And you know, if you look at the roles that are there, it's like we said earlier. So we've got a sales team on the road that essentially connects with the carriers and the shippers. But it's also the tech team. So, of course, the tech is an important part of what we do. And then the operations team, because I think what's really important to understand, and this is what clients often ask us, is they say, well, once you basically connect us with a carrier, what happens if something goes wrong? Mm. So that is where our back-end team, our operations team, steps in to support the client. So it's not like after the connection is made, you're on your own. Mm. And if there's a problem, you solve it yourself. So we very actively manage those shipments and support the clients in case of error. So if the driver can't find the location, gets a flat tire, or if the client doesn't open the door when the driver appears. So.
Okay. All right. Now, you started this as three friends from three different countries. We've got the Malaysian, the Dutch, and the Indian. Mm. What sort of expertise that each of you have that led to the launch of Easy Haul?
I'll go first. So my background, I grew up in India and spent considerable time in the U.S. and Singapore, mainly in logistics, a little bit of time in consulting within the logistics sphere. So I was working with a company called UTI Worldwide. Mm-hmm. It's a leading 3PL, or was, until it got acquired by DSV, a Danish company. So during that acquisition, Raymond approached me. Easy Haul was Raymond's brainchild, and he said, like, hey, I have this idea. What do you think about it? Mm-hmm. So I probably thought about it for one day and said yes. Okay. So my personal background, I've been in logistics. I was leading Singapore and Malaysia for UTI at the time when I decided to make the jump. And this guy here, Raymond, was actually my boss at one point. So we go a way back. Our second co-founder, Nicky Lum, so he's Malaysian. He's worked in different 3PLs as well. He used to run his own company before this, so he has entrepreneurial background. And then Raymond, I'll let him...
Yeah, so my background is very similar. So I've been in logistics for 20 years, lived in Europe, in the US, and since 2011 here in Southeast Asia. So I lived in Singapore, Vietnam, now Malaysia. But essentially, I think what you see is with the three co-founders is our background is in logistics. We're not tech people. Mm. And I think this is what really hits a home run with the shippers that we talk to, so our clients, because this is a B2B industry and they like to talk to people that sort of understand their business. So it's not only about providing the truck, but it's about understanding the type of pressures that they are under, because they work, most of our clients work with strict SOPs, so standard operating procedures. They've got SLAs in place with their clients. So if something goes wrong with the transportation, it immediately impacts them with their clients. And so for us to be able to understand sort of that environment and provide a service that basically supports them is I think what sort of differentiates us with some of the other providers that are in the market.
Right. Explain to me again, 3PLs.
3PL stands for third-party logistics. So this is companies like DHL, Damco, DB Schenker, logistics companies, basically.
All right. So, and how many carriers do you have listed on your platform so far?
So we are getting close to about 3,000 trucks on our platform. That's spread over about 250 trucking companies. Our typical sweet spot rests with trucking companies that have between 5 and 30 trucks on the platform, the small and medium-sized trucking companies.
Right. And what's the business model here? It's a free-to-use service, but how do you guys then make your revenues?
Right. So, look, for both shippers and carriers, they can register for free. There's no membership fees. There's no annual service fees or anything like that. So, in essence, the way that we make money is through commission, commission on the transaction. And that commission ranges anywhere between 10 and 20%.
Okay. Now, and Malaysia will be your first or Singapore?
So, we're a Singapore-headquartered company, but our first market of operation is Malaysia.
Okay. Now, what's difficult about operating a service like this in Malaysia?
So, some of the challenges that we're finding in Malaysia is, first of all, I guess for us as a company is to find the right people to build the team. And I think we've been extremely fortunate. I think the team that we've built now and the people that are on board, they're all nuggets in itself, gold nuggets. I mean, they're extremely.
And most of them are Malaysians?
Yes, yes. Except for
one, 19 out of the 20 are local Malaysian.
Absolutely. And so I think we also spend an awful lot of our time in actually finding those people. It's surprising, actually, for me as a founder, how much time you spend on HR and getting the right people on board. But you find once they're there, I mean, it's unbelievable what a well-oiled team can do. So we've been very fortunate there.
Yeah, I think on the transportation side, the two challenges I see, number one, obviously, is tech adoption. I think we are lucky that Malaysia, the tech adoption is much higher than some of the other Southeast Asia countries. If you compare Malaysia with Indonesia, for example, I would say the smartphone usage is about 10-15% in Indonesia. But in Malaysia, I would say about 70% of the drivers here have smartphones, right? They're all on WhatsApp and YouTube and whatnot, right? So that's helped us, you know, get them on board, because for our application to work, the driver needs to have a smartphone.
Right.
So that will be always be a challenge to get 100% of the drivers with a smartphone. The second challenge, and this is more for the Malaysia ecosystem, is the shortage of drivers. There's a high turnover of drivers with trucking companies. So if we go and train certain drivers, they then leave, then we got to retrain the new drivers who come in, et cetera, right?
Okay. All right. And we'll talk a little bit more about competition after this. I'm speaking to the gentleman from Easy Haul, Raymond Gillen, and Mudassar Mohammed. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Best for money, BFM 89.9.
Good morning, Frida Liu here. If you've just joined us, of course, listening to Enterprise. I'm speaking to Raymond Gillen and Mudassar Mohammed from Easy Haul. They're an on-demand trucking made easy. That's what they're trying to do, and leveraging on the shared economy. And they started out in April 2016. Now, is there anyone else operating with a similar model? And I guess, who do you consider as competition?
Right. So in Singapore and Malaysia, there are a few competing platforms who are involved in similar activities. However, their focus is slightly different from what we do at Easy Haul. So a lot of these platforms, they're focused on the B2C market, so the business-to-consumer market. So a lot of these companies, they do last-mile deliveries, for instance, for e-commerce companies like Lazada, or personal home moves. So I think you've spoken to a couple of these companies on the show as well. So they do personal home moves where you can go to the website and book a truck to move your fridge from one location to another. So I think our business model from the start has been very focused on the B2B market alone, and very specifically to commercial companies and solving their particular needs. So again, I talked already about these companies having very specific SOPs and SLAs. And so the way that we've built our application is to make sure that we can adhere to those standards. And that is something, the feedback at least that we're getting from our clients is that we're at the moment, probably in Malaysia at least, the only platform that really can do that on that level.
Are there plans to go to B2C though?
Not in terms of the last mile delivery of the small parcels. And I'll tell you why. I mean, this is an incredibly crowded space already. So there's a number of players there. So there's existing players like Postlaju, you've got DHL e-commerce. And then there's a number of startups that have started over the past couple of years, some of them extremely well funded, take Ninja Van. So for us to get in the mix there, it's going to be extremely challenging to make money at the end of the day. So for us, this is not really a space that we're considering to go into, although there is some niche segments there where we think we can make some money, but that's really specific. So that's not the
right the main focus.
The main
of the
focus. It's not like when you buy your CDs online and they get delivered at home. We wouldn't be doing that stuff.
Okay, and you know, with DFTZ and all that, that will have a major impact on your business?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to Raymond's point, being in the B2B industry, a lot of people forget that before that hair dryer or the refrigerator comes to your house, it probably came on a ship or plane from somewhere into then Port Klang or KLIA, and then it had to be moved from there to a warehouse, and then from the warehouse to probably another hub, right? So the FTZs, et cetera, is going to encourage more imports and more exports, which is where we play, right? So a lot of our movements are pickups from airports, from ports, from cross-dock facilities. So as imports and exports grow, driven by, you know, Alibaba's made a huge investment in KLIA. So very hopeful that the drive in e-commerce for the next 10, 15 years will also drive the first mile logistics, right? So the imports coming to Malaysia, distribution to warehouses, etc. So there's we will ride the e-commerce wave too, but just that not on the last mile, but on the first mile.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So I think I said this on the last show as well, is basically we do every mile except the last mile, and really all that volume is there, and the growth in the volumes that you see on the e-commerce side basically goes through these other miles as well. So that's where we play. The other thing with regards to this initiative is, of course, cross-border, right? So one of the things that we're doing now is we've just opened in Thailand. And so as a result, we're now able to facilitate cross-border trucking between Malaysia, Thailand, Thailand, Malaysia.
Okay, so that's the part of the growth plan as well.
Right.
Now, I know you sort of mentioned that a little earlier about how you offer no paper hassles, one of your perks. And how do you ensure the security of your service to make sure everything's in order? That's where the tech team comes in, right?
Yeah. I think the tech and SOP also, right? So when the carriers join our platform, there is an insurance requirement, right? They need to carry some level of liability insurance. And then we as a company also need to carry our own insurance just to cover any unforeseen circumstances. So it starts with that. And then you then get to monitoring the shipments, right? So it's ideally, it's good to know where the trucks are at all times. So you have traceability on where the drivers are, be able to communicate with them effectively and respond quickly to emergencies, right? If there's a truck breakdown or something, right? We should be in a position to immediately get a different truck there, rescue the cargo, etc. So the traceability comes into play. So I would say starting with pre-qualifying the carriers, having them have a level of insurance that meets the cargo they're carrying, and then having traceability are key in ensuring security.
Okay. Now, you've attracted big names and international investors to back your company. So how easy or difficult was it pitching a concept like Easy Haul to investors?
Well, it's never easy, right? So I'll be the last to claim that raising funds is easy. And I think for every startup, it's one of the challenges of a co-founder is to get funds to be able to grow your company. Now, for us, I think what has worked in our favor is the fact that we have been in the industry for so long. So it immediately creates a token of credibility. And so you get a seat at the table with the investor. Now, at that point in time, you still have to convince them of the concept and how this can scale to a level where it becomes economically feasible. But I think with the network that we have, it also has allowed us to bring on some larger clients, companies that we've worked with before or indirectly had contacts with. And so that has really helped us, I think, to create that credibility and create a trust with investors to say, look, if we put our money here, these guys are going to do something good with it.
Okay. Now, you know, also the whole scene in logistics is changing. You know, companies adopting newer, faster ways to get their goods to destination. Are you looking at new kinds of carriers to offer on your platform? Drones.
Well, you know, there's a lot of technologies out there, and I think it's important to separate what's practical from hype. You know, things like autonomous trucking, which is just about launching in U.S., it will happen in our region, but I think it's still several years away. Drones probably more applicable for B2C. Again, in our segment where it's B2B, we're dealing with bulk cargo. Drones are probably not the best applicable technology for us, right? But, you know, we have a bunch of very smart technology professionals in a team, and whether that's AI or machine learning or looking at the next wave of technology, we're always looking at what can be integrated into our solutions for our clients.
Okay, now, you know, is there any regulation that's implemented in other countries that you wish was present in Malaysia as well, just to make things quicker and easier? You know, I guess, is there something that we would change the game in terms of logistics?
Look, I think starting on the positive side, like I said, Malaysia is well ahead of most countries in Southeast Asia in terms of regulation. Again, if I compare it with Indonesia, the waiting times for getting licenses or registering businesses much longer compared to Malaysia. But if Malaysia benchmarks with Singapore, in Singapore it's a lot faster, whether it's to register your vehicle or get your insurance done, any of that, right? So I think just speed and making things easier for the transportation companies is what will, you know, take Malaysia to the next level as well.
You know, you're using the shared economy model now, but have you considered building your own fleet of carriers?
Well, we've discussed it, but quite honestly, our business model is very much focused on being a non-asset-based provider, simply because the capital investment in building your own fleet of trucks is going to be enormous. And with having your own fleet of trucks, you also lose piece of that flexibility what we have at the moment by having this platform approach. The other thing that you have to consider is then you sort of get into a direct conflict with the carriers that are on your platform if you're operating also your own trucks, because when are you going to be using your own trucks versus using outsourced carriers? So we very purposely said, look, we're not in the game to become a transportation company, right? And have our own vehicles on the roads.
Do we have figures on how underutilized these trucks are in Malaysia?
Yeah, so as I mentioned before, I mean, you see that in Malaysia, for instance, particularly in the SME segment on the trucker side, you see about statistics say it's about 60-65% empty returns, which means that for every transport, there is 65% of the times the truck comes back empty. Besides that, in more than 50% of the times, the truck, when it's loaded, it is not fully loaded. So there is empty space available, which provides potential co-loading opportunities. So there's definitely that opportunity to better utilize those
assets. So we're talking
over
50%.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But it doesn't mean that you can get to 100%, right? So let me be clear, because there's always such a thing as trade imbalances, things like that. So, but there's certainly a lot of space still to better improve the utilization.
And obviously, you want to move to other parts of the market as well. You mentioned Thailand, and I guess this year will be the focus on growing Thailand and other markets perhaps?
Yeah, absolutely. So Thailand's been on our radar for the last several months. We've made our first couple of hires in Bangkok. Raymond was actually just there last week inducting the team in. So it's a very exciting time for us to forge into new markets. Thailand's a pretty big market for us. We have some contacts there, so we are, you know, hoping for a fast start, take the learnings we've had in Malaysia, what's worked, what's not worked, and, you know, do it better in Thailand. So Thailand, we expect to go live in the April-May timeframe, and then we're looking at other markets in Southeast Asia and potentially India as well for the second half of the year.
Right. Okay. So this exciting times of growth.
Very much so.
Thanks for being with us and you know, sharing your growth plans. A company that's about two years? 2 years
ago. Yeah, a little bit over a year.
So Raymond Gillen and Mudassar Mohammed from Easy Haul, you've been listening to Enterprise BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.